is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number three. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, in Omaha, getting ready for the College World Series. And Jensen, always love catching up with the one and only Lou Finocchiaro, especially on the eve of a big fight card. And certainly also has some thoughts on the College World Series. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow at GamBlue and check out the Bout Business podcast. It is spectacular each and every week. But Lou, before we get to the fights, you're an Arizona Wildcat. And you're not in Omaha this week, but you're there with the Cats in spirit, correct?
Dave, this is, first of all, Dave and Jensen, thanks so much for having me on. College World Series is great. I was born and raised in Omaha, grew up there. This is the first trip to Omaha for the Arizona Wildcats that I have not been in attendance for. There are extenuating circumstances for that, but I'll surely be pulling for our Chip Hale and the Arizona crew. In 1980, when I was a sophomore at the U of A, I was living in Omaha. The U of A came. Terry Francona, Chip Hale, a few other guys, big leaguers, were all on that team, and they won it while I was going to school there. It was the greatest situation I've ever experienced.
Lou, always great. And I'm sure you and I both be locked in for first pitch later this afternoon. It's going to be a great rematch of that 2016 College World Series final. So going to be fun to watch. Let's go right to the main card, my friend Usman and Buckley here, and just kind of size it up for us. I know Buckley, almost a $3 favorite in some places. The form has been pretty solid. How do you see it? And potential finish here in this as big time fight.
Yeah, Usman opens minus 170. And so the tsunami came in on Buckley, and that opening number was incorrect. I think that it was more reflective of where Usman was instead of where he is. And you hit it, Jensen. Buckley's coming in with tremendous momentum. He's younger, more explosive, quicker, got that power. Though Usman's shown some wear and tear, and he's lost his last three, albeit to decent fighters, he's 38 years old now, doesn't move like he did. And so I think what remains with Mr. Usman is his durability. I'm not so sure he has the power to finish or the knees to be able to effectively take Buckley, who's a good wrestler himself, down. I see a relatively maybe one-sided Buckley decision here is really how it sets up for me.
It's sitting at 4.5, that total. It's juiced evenly at -$1.15 here. So if you're leaning towards that over, you can shorten that price point here, Buckley by decision. Lou, is there ever a danger, though? Because you can make the case at one point that Kamaru Usman, you and I have talked about him for years, could have been regarded as the greatest welterweight of all time. I mean, I don't think he is, but you could have made a conversation that Kamaru Usman was in that ilk, right? I saw the first time they faced off, and it looked like there was a little bit of that, I don't want to say hero worship, but Buckley was like, wow, I'm fighting Kamaru Usman. We've seen this in the past with guys when they fight Jose Aldo, let's say, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, I'm fighting Aldo. Is there any danger in that, that Buckley goes, oh my goodness, I'm fighting Kamaru Usman?
Dave, I'm going to spin it the other way. I think it's an opportunity for him to go out and make a name for himself. And rather than being in awe, I think he was so excited he was ready to, he needed to use the restroom. He can't wait to fight this kid.
That's an interesting way. He gets so fired up about it that, I got to relieve myself here for a moment. Speaking of legends, we have another one in the women's flyweight here with Rose Namajunas, or Rose by any other name, and against Fear the Maverick. Miranda is going to be the almost $2 betting underdog against Rose. Again, through the years, you and I have talked about it. There's certain fighters that it's hard for me on the outside to handicap because I don't know where their head's at. Rose is one of those fighters for me. When she's mentally locked in, we see why she's been a champion, right? One of the best we've ever seen it at 115. And now you start fighting here at 125. What do you make of that? And Miranda's been on a bit of a roll herself. Is there any danger in Rose if her head is not where it needs to be in this fight?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Dave. Traditionally, I have worried about Rose's level of motivation in various fights. but I don't think in this one. I think really what I concern myself more is how she's looked at 125. She's not the same fighter at 125 she was at 115, no matter what anyone says. And yeah, Maverick looks shorter and tinier, but she's thick. She's a wrestler. She's aggressive. And she's an ascending fighter that knows what's ahead of her. We're going to get two women's best efforts. And I think Maverick, with the shorter, more compact body, even though we're going to be competing in a large cage, I think she can get a hold of Rose, and I think she can get her down. And that, I think, is foundational for Maverick's opportunity to win.
I love that. And Lou, just to kind of parlay off of that, you know me, love to look for potential method of victories here, or maybe some money line parlays, or at least on this main card. I'll give you the floor. Any of the rest of these main card fights, anything really stick out to you from those perspectives?
These main card fights are on there to incite the crowd, and they're gonna, but it's a little chalky. I don't know how Cody Garbrandt going to compete with Hione Barcelos, though. This Brazilian, some years ago, was, I thought, the best bantamweight around. He just never could get fights, probably because no one would fight him. He's older now, so is Garbrandt. Garbrandt's chinny, and that's a bad thing to be against Barcelos.
You know, I'm glad you brought up that fight, because I've seen Cody's got a new tattoo. There's another former champ, and we got former champs up and down this card here with Rose and Kamaru Usman and No Love Garbrandt here. He still has that one-punch knockout power, but again, against Barcelos, he's got to keep the fight standing and have any chance for a, I guess, an upset at this point at plus $1.64. The total set at 2.5. It's juiced to the over $1.35. Is there finishing potential one way or the other, whether it's Barcelos on the ground or Garbrandt with a KO?
Yeah, I think I don't see Garbrandt in a position to finish Barcelos myself, but I'm not always right. I do believe Barcelos is in position to finish Garbrandt any way he wants. I think this is a little bit more of a dominant fight than how it's priced.
Woo. So look to the Barcelos side there, value in that favorite. One fighter that I've been guilty of going back to the well on is on the – remember, this is a dynamic fight card down in the ATL. So they've got some big names on this card. That would be the Bear Jew, Paul Craig. He's back in here. He's over a $3 betting underdog again against Rodolfo Bellotto. Can I look to Paul Craig anymore and say – he's live as a $3 betting dog, or do I just bury that ticket and not go down that well again?
I'm going to tell you that you're, you know, on the right path, actually. Listen, this fight was scheduled to take place a couple weeks ago, and it didn't. And when it came down, Bellotto was a 600 favorite. He had gone from 650 at the opening. He was a 500 favorite. Now they open at this time, he's 385, 350. 385 right now, 395. So way less than what he was. And I think that shows the appropriate level of respect for Craig. Now, if you bet Craig, you better be able to hold your breath for 5 minutes, because for the first 5 minutes, this is going to be ugly. Craig needs to be Forrest Gump running in circles and just make sure we get to the second round. If we can get to the second round in this fight, I think Bellotto, as big and muscular as he is, can swell all up, and then Craig has much better opportunity. So I like the dog here. I like the over here a little bit. But I think I'm going to try a Craig submission and try and maximize, because that, to me, seems his most likely path to victory.
I love it. All right. So speaking of path to victory, we obviously know this is no longer the SEC or ACC Invitational, Lou. Here in Omaha for the College World Series, 7 different conferences represented, and going to be a knockdown dragout fight here, where you have a really nice mix of teams that are pretty consistent, teams that are trending in the right direction. We have Cinderella alive here with Murray State. Size it up for us. A team, obviously, you'd be rooting for Arizona, but maybe a team on each side of the bracket that you think could surprise some people here in the next week or so.
Jensen, you hit it on the head. If you don't have a bracket and you don't understand how this sets up, you're killing yourself, okay? So what I've tried to do, we have LSU and Arkansas futures. Ideally, I'd like them to be staggered more than they are, but it is what it is. And so I'm done with that side of the bracket. I'll let, Murray and or Louisville and Oregon State.
Murray State, excuse UCLA, me, you're State. Right. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll let UCLA and Murray do their thing because I think that one of the SEC teams is going to make it into that final. The other side's wide open, and you got to respect Coastal's pitching, and you got to respect Oregon State's pitching and hitting. Both Coastal and Oregon State are not strangers to the College World Series, and while I'm a big Arizona fan, I'll avoid this first game, watch and see how they handle that Coastal pitching. But I think if you even wanted to take Coastal at plus 600 and Oregon at plus 650, and you can find your way into a SEC against one of your two teams, there's a lot of ways to make money off of that. I'm about taking dollars to the bank, so we'll play futures in order to make 1, 2, 3 units because we're depositing dollars, not EV.
I'll tell you this, Lou, you're not the only one rooting for your alma mater. Mike Palm's got a nice ticket on Arizona as well, so Mike's going to be rooting for Arizona too, right there with you. Got to wrap it up, but Lou, tell the people about the Bout Business podcast and the sneak peek you put out every week.
Sneak peeks. A Sunday release, early look at the lines for each week's UFC card. The Bout Business drops Friday at gamblu.com. You can get all my final releases there. Great show today, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
We're back in the Bear Jew one more time. Paul Craig, let's do a little. Appreciate you as always. When we come back, talking some soccer. Billy Boddy going to join the program next year. It's Beeson by the Books.
And by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. Great conversation with Lou Finocchiaro in the last segment, breaking down the UFC and also College World Series. Next, what a treat to have Billy Boddy in studio right here. You can give him a follow, as I do, at SGP Soccer. And he's been all around the country here in the last couple weeks. Billy, great to have you here in Vegas, getting ready for a pretty big weekend. By the way, how do you enjoy when you come over to the stateside? You get to go to Florida, you go to Cali, you come to Vegas. Do you have a favorite so far?
Yeah, I think I feel most settled just being here in Vegas, being around the sports books. I can get what I want to eat. I got betting all around me. I think I know the most people here. So, yeah, I think I'm most settled in Vegas.
I think, Jensen, that goes for us too, right? We're comfortable in the sports books. We like being in the books like Billy does too. We know that FIFA Cup is going to be – the World Cup is going to be played for the first time since 2000, and I know a lot of excitement in that. From a betting perspective, can you give people maybe a quick cursory run at what we might expect?
Yeah, so I keep hearing this terminology being used, dress rehearsal for the World Cup. Listen, you're the number one country in the world who doesn't need a dress rehearsal for big stadia. You have this little thing coming up starting September called the NFL.
Yeah.
And you're going to play a lot of games in stadiums. You know how to do this. This isn't a third world country. There's no dress rehearsal here. You know exactly what you're doing for a major tournament. So it's not a dress rehearsal. What it could be more so described as is a cash grab, because there is a space in the calendar. We have a European Championship every 4 years. We have a World Cup every 4 years, a country's World Cup. This is a big gap that's going to be filled with this every 4 years. So this Club World Cup is back. It's different to before, where if you're one of the top four performing European teams, let's use Europe as an example, across the Champions League, you get to play in this competition. So it's going to be like a four-year qualification process. At the moment, the teams that have done the best, you can see them here in the market. They're there. So the likes of Barcelona were not one of the best performing teams. Liverpool were not one of the best performing teams, so they're not here in this competition. So this is the field. So people will take this more seriously now for the next 4 years in order to qualify for this. And the reason you want to qualify for this is because there's big money involved. Like FIFA really incentivized you with the cash payouts. Why do you want to win a cash payout if you're a big club? Well, it's because of FFP, because of financial fair play, because you can only spend what you earn as a soccer club. But if you earn a lot of money from this event, it gives you a big advantage over the other teams in your league because you can spend more money and FIFA are putting up a lot of money. So they've, whereas before Real Madrid were one of the clubs who were outspoken saying, oh, we don't need another competition. It's really unfair for our players and for their fitness to put another competition out there. Suddenly you see the prize money, you see the TV revenue as well, and everybody is suddenly very interested in winning this thing and playing it again in 4 years' time.
Yeah, and Billy, it's kind of ironic too, right? You see some of these heavyweights, especially at the top of the market. We'll touch on Real Madrid here in a moment. But as just a quick follow-up, we look at these transfer fees and be able to use some of those funds from income to be able to bolster rosters. As you look at this odds board here for the Club World Cup, of course, Real Madrid installed as the top betting choice. PSG, as we know, coming off that Champions League win, just a decimation there of Inter in the final. Manchester City, just kind of an up and down year for them in the Prem. How do you size up kind of that left column there, maybe the top four or five betting choices to potentially win this Club World Cup?
Yeah, I'm going to be very boring here and focus on the top two in the market because I can't see beyond them. Mm. Real Madrid are the wounded animal, but I'll talk about Paris Saint-Germain first. They have just run through the Champions League and they've taken advantage of the situation we're in soccer at the moment, which is everybody is more focused on style of play as opposed to their opponents. And the style of play that everybody tries to implement now is to make it feel like you have a man advantage on the field. It's called overload. Overload and transition are terms that you're going to hear a lot of experts using when they're talking about tactics. Overload is basically just to have an make it feel like you have an extra man on the pitch. And to win the ball in transition means you win it in the opponent's third so that you can immediately be on the attack. And you can create that overload by having an extra man there. In Hakimi and in Mendes, Paris Saint-Germain have the best two fullbacks in the world. These are absolute machine athletes who can get up and down. And what they do is they create the effect that Paris Saint-Germain make you feel like they have 13 players on the pitch as opposed to 11, because these guys are doing two jobs. They're super athletes. And that was a tactic that heavily influenced why Paris Saint-Germain were able to win the Champions League. And I don't see anything changing here. If this team come in motivated, they're going to win this competition again. And they have owners that are motivated to do it. Paris Saint-Germain have often been given that tag of you play in the Farmers League. But they want to be a massive commercial club like Real Madrid. They've already started their promotion. They got into the US super early. They're already doing a lot of marketing things in LA. They're taking this seriously. They want to establish Paris Saint-Germain as a European, as a world superpower. Real Madrid, we know they're a world superpower. They're up there with the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Yankees. They're in that same conversation. Manchester United as well. I always align United and the Cowboys as massive sides that are underperforming. And I'm Man United, so I feel you. But yeah, and Man United not in this competition, which is embarrassing for us. But Real Madrid, they're the wounded animals. Signed Kylian Mbappe after winning the Champions League last year. And did nothing really this season. Lost the Champions League, lost the league to Real in Spain. So they are the wounded animal here. But I just don't see how they overcome Paris Saint-Germain. But I do see them making a roaring start here. They've changed manager. Ancelotti's gone to Brazil. Xabi Alonso comes in as the new Real Madrid manager. A very, very comfortable group. And I think the price of around about plus 110, plus 105 on them to come out fast and win the three group games is really appealing to me for the Real side of things. So I like PSG to win it, but I like Real Madrid to come out of the blocks really fast in their group with that new manager bounce. That's a term that I like. We often see teams having a new manager bounce. And this is a guy who Real Madrid have been scouting for a while. He didn't come over from Leverkusen last year, but he came over this year. And remember what he did at Leverkusen the season before, where they were undefeated domestically and took the league away from Bayern as a massive underdog. So this guy's been on their radar for a while, and I think he'll make an impressive start here as the manager.
Even here, my Cowboys can't avoid strays. We just get it from all sides, Billy. I understand.
But I'm aligned with you. I also support a sleeping giant, and I'm suffering too. So.
Well, let's wake up those Cowboys, please, Billy. I need something in my lifetime here. All right, let's get to your plays that you've got here in the club, World Cup plays here for FIFA. And again, you like PSG to win this thing. But beyond that, you've got some other angles that you like.
Yeah, so I just spoke about Real Madrid and coming through what looks like a comfortable group. But when you look at somebody like Real Madrid and you look at the top goalscorer market, you're looking at Mbappe, you're looking at Vini Jr., you're looking at a split of goals. Harry Kane for Bayern Munich is, for me, the world's best number nine, not just because he's English, but he's an out-and-out number nine. And every team, and this is what I want to explain to people, every team has a player who has number nine on his back. But when I say number nine, I'm looking at a way that you play the game, which is to stay in the box. Your only job is to look for scraps. If there's a loose ball, you put the ball in the back of the net. You have one job. You're there as a target man to put the ball in the back of the net. Harry Kane is the best at doing that, I think, above Erling Haaland at the moment. Erling Haaland needs a lot of things to kind of go his way. And we saw this season with Man City not having Rodri in their team, which meant their midfielders had to concentrate a lot more on defensive responsibilities. And if you are creating on defensive responsibilities, you're going to be less creative and you're going to create less chances for Haaland. Harry Kane is much better at carving out his own opportunities if need be, but he doesn't have that imbalance in his Bayern Munich team like Man City do. So I like Harry Kane to score a lot of goals in this group, and I think he provides more value as the top goal scorer for this tournament.
And again,
absolutely love it.
Yep.
Love it.
Go ahead, Jensen.
I was just going to say, it's phenomenal. And I think now since we have it, Billy, for the first time since Y2K, mm-hmm. got a lot, lots happened since then. The incentivization, as you mentioned, for the prize money and also how this will shape the clubs moving forward, Billy, I think is a phenomenal way to look at it. All right, just quickly, will you stay chalk here? You think it's Real Madrid or PSG that win this thing this year?
I think, Real Madrid as a wounded animal are going to give this a monster effort, but I just think it's going to be difficult to overcome and look past what PSG did in the Champions League. A side bet I just want to get to is Borussia Dortmund mm-hmm. to reach the quarterfinals of this competition. They actually come in as one of the informed teams in Europe. They were dead and buried when it came to qualifying for the Champions League. Went on a crazy run, won 7 of the last 8, scored 26 goals in the last 8 games. They're in a group where I just cannot see them dropping points. And if they come through this group, they play a wounded Inter Milan who lost 5-0 in Champions League final, or they play against River Plate of Argentina, and Borussia Dortmund, I strongly fancy to overcome those teams. So just go beyond them winning the group, take them to reach the quarterfinals. It's just one additional game, but it adds a lot of money to the price. Like, you suddenly hit plus money territory by taking that one extra game.
Billy, great to have you in studio. Tell the people where they can access all of your fine content.
Yeah, I'm over on the Soccer Gambling Podcast, on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, so you can find me there. Just search Soccer Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And I also run a service called LockBetting.com. We now have 144 months in a row of transparent and track profit, so that's LockBetting.com. And just before I get out, have a couple of Peaky Blinders hats for you guys.
Let's go.
So Dave is going to get first choice on the color.
I think I'm going right here, Jensen.
So Jensen, you're going to get the brown one.
By order of the Peaky Blinders.
Billy, you're the man. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming in studio. Absolutely. I love this. I'm going to rock this, Jensen. All right, when we come back, we're talking some puck with Jonathan Davis. That's next year at VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. A lot of fun having Billy Boddy in studio talking some soccer. I didn't know we were going to get Peaky Blinder hats, but now we have them, Jensen, when you come back here. So we'll have that on the ready for you. Amazing hockey game that we saw last night. And I think if you're just with no betting interest in it, you go, this is great for the series. Going to go north of the border, all knotted up at 2. Jonathan Davis, kind enough to join us here on this Friday, does a great job here on the network breaking down the Stanley Cup Finals and beyond. Give him a follow on X at West Coast Hockey. That's HKY. JD, I did not see that second period coming when Florida's up 3-0. I wish I'd looked then at what Bobrovsky's number was to win the Conn Smythe. How much things changed in the rest of that period in 20 short minutes, and how much this series might have changed. What do you make of Edmonton getting off the deck and getting that sensational game winner from Dreisaitl in overtime, and now we're all knotted up at 2?
All right, well, a lot to digest there. Look, I actually jumped on Edmonton. I tweeted out, I played Edmonton live at 13-1 at the end of the first period.
Wow.
For me, guys, I felt that, look, that was the first period where Edmonton just, you know, they couldn't stay out of the box. It killed them again. But I just felt there's enough resolve there. And there sure was in that second period. I mean, imagine being in that building, especially, let's say, from the Panther fan perspective. And, you know, it's euphoria for the first period. The life is sucked out of you in the second period. all the way into the third period when Jake Walman scores the goal, and then it's euphoria again when they tie it, and then again someone puts that little pin into the balloon and everything is just taken out of you. It was outstanding. And now we're down to a best 2 out of 3. So from a hockey fan perspective, it's outstanding. And I made no bones about it when I do a show for NHL Network Radio. And I said, Panther fans, I'm sorry. I'm cheering for the Oilers. I really want to see Connor raise the cup. But regardless, just like what we've seen in the NBA, you know, we've had, it's just very compelling stuff.
I would agree. And the other part of that compelling issue here is the goaltending. And JD, I know you've fed us some great stuff and some amazing statistics. And I'm still wrapping my head around where Pickard now, 7-0, has to come in and kind of rescue the day. I know we had exchanged messages about if you feel like Stuart Skinner does his Dominic Hasek impression from Game 4 and beyond, then you like Edmonton. Buddy, I mean, it was a blitzkrieg there in period one, and then Pickard comes in and saves the day. Do you have to roll with the hot hand now if you're Edmonton going back home and seeing what Pickard has done as well?
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any question, and you go with Calvin Pickard in game 5. Now, what I will say, Stuart Skinner's still 6-0 in game 4. Still hasn't lost a game 4. So, but no. Yes, you're going with Pickard, and really, it wasn't on Stuart Skinner. I mean, 1:41 into the first period, he makes a big stop on Sam Bennett. And then, you know, then the Oilers went brain dead, and Evander Kane took his fourth penalty in 3-plus periods. Darnell Nurse takes a penalty shortly thereafter, and the floodgates open. 2 power play goals. Can't put that on Skinner. The third goal was a bad break for Edmonton. It should have been a high-sticking penalty on the Panthers, but regardless, not a goal that I would put on Skinner. But this is where I was having an argument with or a friendly discussion, let's say, with some people last night. We were all watching the game, and they were debating. They were telling me, like, if you had one coach right now that you'd want behind the bench who's going to make a better decision, who would you want, Maurice or Knobloch? And I said, look, I got no problem with what Chris Knobloch has done. I think he's pulled a lot of the right strings throughout the playoffs. And to me, it started off with when he moved Connor McDavid to the top penalty killing unit. And then look, last night was a gutsy move. Was it on Skinner? No, but this was something where they felt they needed to make a change and change the momentum. And the easiest thing to do is to change your goalie. I mean, look, Evander Kane should have been benched last night, in my opinion. But, you know, look, credit to Knobloch and credit to the Oilers.
I thought when they switched goaltenders there and it was 3-1 early in that second period and Pickard had that great save in the breakaway, JD, I thought that really kind of switched the momentum of that game at that point. And then Pickard was fantastic from that point on. He's 100-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Now, look, I get it. It's Draisaitl's now leapt ahead of Connor in that Conn Smythe conversation. But let's just say, hypothetically, is there a pathway for one of these extreme long shots, whether it's Bobber at 75-1 or Pickard at 100-1, if it's not the Bennett's, Draisaitl's, and McDavid's of the world tallying all these goals in games 5, 6, or potentially 7, if these goaltenders stand on their heads for the next 3 games, is there any pathway for either one of those guys?
See, I don't think either goaltender has stood on their head. I think they've made some good, you know, key saves when at key moments of the game. But, you know, Pickard's numbers are not Conn Smythe worthy. Yes, he's 7-0, but, you know, his save percentage is below .900. And maybe that's, you know, come playoff time, actually, goalies will tell you, they don't look at their numbers. The only number they care about is wins. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, Leon's got 4 game-winning goals, 4 overtime goals. That's a Stanley Cup playoff record. So I think it's hard to shy away from Leon. On the Florida side, look, Bob's been good. Again, he's made some big saves at key moments, but he hasn't been Conn Smythe worthy. I think it's still Sam Bennett's award to win.
All right, JD, as we look towards game 5 here, some player props or some of these other trends you've been hot on, anything you really like that's sticking out going back north of the border?
Sure. I mean, I think, look, the two best props for me right now, Evan Bouchard, over 2.5 shots on goal. I laddered it last night. I think he had about 7 or 8 attempts, but he only had 3 shots on goal. So the 2.5 cashed, it's getting juicier and juicier. But that's one that I'll continue to ride. Mattias Ekholm, over 1.5 block shots. That's cash now, I think, in 10 of the last 11 games. Corey Perry over to have at least 2 shots has also been a big moneymaker on the Edmonton side. On the Florida side, you know, it's been kind of up and down. There's really, I wouldn't say there's been a consistent prop for me that has panned out. So most of my props, player props, have been on the Edmonton side.
JD, when I look at it now, and the series winner is back to where we started, essentially, it's pick 'em. It's minus -110 either way, even though Edmonton, theoretically, they've got home ice, especially if this thing goes 7. Is there value there? Because now with Connor being the second betting choice for Conn Smythe at 3-1, Draisaitl at plus +250, plus money on Sam Bennett. If you're on the Florida side, instead of laying the $1.10, would you play Bennett? But on the Edmonton side, I feel like I have to play $1.10 because I don't know who's going to get it, if it's going to be Connor or Draisaitl right there neck and neck.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, yes, I would definitely play Bennett on the Florida side. You know, it's interesting because after round 3, like, Connor had two of the most impactful goals against the Dallas Stars in games 3 and 5 that took a 2-1 lead to 3-1 and a 3-2 lead to 4-2. But here's Leon now with his second overtime goal of this series and his fourth of the playoffs. And so, I mean, maybe recency bias, you're going to have to, you know, you give it to Leon. I mean, they are neck and neck. They're tied in points. You know, look, Leon is showing why he was second in voting for the most valuable player award in the NHL this season. Like, I think the other key for Edmonton, guys, if you take a look, the 4 guys who scored for the Oilers in regulation last night had not scored a goal in this series. The big thing that carried Edmonton throughout the playoffs for the first 3 rounds was their depth. 19 different players with a goal. They only had 6 going into last night. They've got 10 different players. But at the end of the day, you know, so with that support, it allows Connor and Leon not to have to always be the man, although they are the men. I don't know. Look, I've got a 15-1 ticket on Leon. Woo. I'd be more inclined to take Leon right now than Connor.
All right, we get game 5 coming up. It's a best of 3 now here, JD. Keys for both teams. Florida wins game 5 because of blank. Edmonton wins game 5 because blank.
Well, I think for Florida, you know, look, their last 2 games, and game 3 was a 6-1 game, so, you know, maybe they try to extract a pound of flesh. We've talked about it before from you every time they play you. But they've only had around, you know, just over 30 hits in each of their last 2 games after 60 and 51 in the first 2. I think the physical toll is taking its toll on the Panthers. I do wonder. So I think that Florida needs to get back to that game where they are pounding the Oilers every chance they get. For Edmonton, now they get back. You know, you guys have been talked about with Rachel Dory yesterday. The fast ice and the best ice is in Edmonton. This is where they can take advantage of their team speed. So I think that, you know, Edmonton, I think it's the speed of Edmonton and the depth. Look, Edmonton's depth just has to continue to carry them and allow Connor and Leon just to, you know, not have to always rely on them. But here, the other thing for Edmonton, they still haven't won a game against Florida in regulation. I mean, they could easily have been swept just as much as this series being tied 2-2. And you know, maybe, or could he be, you know, 2-2 to me is fair. But, yeah, they're going to have to go back to just, I think, stay out of the box, really.
Yeah,
that's the big thing for me. Just stay out of the box if you're Edmonton.
If they play discipline hockey, they're going to win 5-on-5. By the way, they're hanging a 6, not a 6.5. Every game's gone over, Jonathan, and yet they're hanging a 6 north of the border tomorrow night. That feels very, very sneaky to me. Appreciate your thoughts, as always, everybody. Visa Pro subscribers, you can get all of JD's information and beyond. And by the way, $41 off right now using the promo code BOOK for your annual subscription.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Great conversation with Jonathan Davis, breaking down the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll get to Game 5 tomorrow night north of the border. Going to update the U.S. Open here, get to our best bets in 1 second, Jensen Lewis. But we do want to give a shout-out to young Aiden Valesky. That's right. Congratulations to Aiden, our star producer, Brandon Valesky's son, who graduated kindergarten yesterday. Look at these pictures. He looks like a very smart kid, taken after his dad, Jensen. I loved kindergarten. I remember it very well. These are the best days of your young life, Aiden. Enjoy those. I know dad is very proud. Jensen, what do you take away? Who's going to be smarter, Aiden or Brandon?
I mean, again, you draw it up to where your kids are smarter than you, or at least are better off, right? So I tell you, he's going to be he might be the first paid intern at VSIN. You know, like, I mean, he is very astute, watches our show every day.
Yeah.
He's starting to get really good with, I think Brandon was telling us, he's getting good with the mascots and the team names, starting to recognize these things right off the top. Yeah, you know, here's where we know that our jobs are in trouble here, Dave, is when he starts giving leverage, you know, bets and things that he likes, things that he's seeing.
Some leans.
We're picking up. If he starts giving out leans, we need to start looking in the yellow pages.
I can tell you his favorite quarterback is going to be J.J. McCarthy. That's just a hunch that's where Aiden's going to go. We'll see how that plays out as the season begins. Let's get to our best bets that are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. And Jensen, you got some good plays today out there for the College World Series. That's why you're in Omaha. You gave these out yesterday, and again, some of these numbers have already moved in your direction.
They have. We'll get another one of the good Jell-O shots here pretty soon. So we got more reinforcements.
By the way, my Jell-O shot.
You got to be.
That goes on our tally, right? That goes on the Jensen Lewis tally.
That's a good question. So I put all these on Murray State last night because a friend of our family here has a nephew or cousin that is on Murray State's team. So we put a sizable amount of these guys on the Racers last night. So job well done. LSU, by the way, your overnight leader in the Jell-O Shot Challenge. Where we go from here, though, again, as you mentioned, gets underway this afternoon, 1 o'clock local, 2 o'clock Eastern. Arizona and Coastal Carolina, we got locked in the under 9.5. It's down to 9 in a lot of places. I'll double check again when I make the walk from Nebraska to Iowa here after our show. Also like the under in this Louisville, Oregon State nightcap. We will be there live and in living color. Shout out to Derek Stevens and the crew for grabbing us tickets for the nightcap game tonight. It'll be great to catch that one. Again, a dynamic offense in Louisville. Oregon State, as Lou Finicaro talked about, great front-end pitching. They can hit it as well, but I do think the ballpark holds both these offenses tonight. So the under 10, the play there. Also tomorrow, as I said with Murray State, we're riding the Racers here. Got them at plus 210 yesterday, down to plus 200 on the money line. And then that total for LSU and Arkansas, if you got in yesterday with us, under 10, you've already got a little bit of value there. It was down as low as 9 yesterday, now up to 9.5. I would still advise, Dave, the under 9.5. I do think we're going to get some premium pitching here from both the Tigers and the Hogs. So those are my initial thoughts and plays here for the first 2 days of the College World Series.
I absolutely love it. We might have to do one more Jell-O shot before the show is over to help out your tally as well in the VSIN Challenge. But WNBA, you've been red hot as well on that. And you've got a couple plays, including maybe getting almost a 4-1 dog and outright for us.
Buddy, we are, and I'm glad that if you're a VSIN Pro subscriber, you got this going away yesterday. So we took the Wings plus 9, some injury issues with the Aces rearing its ugly head. Ooh. It's down to plus 6 this morning. We got the money line at plus 370. I think it's down to plus 210.
Yep.
If I'm looking here at Circa correctly. So we got a boatload of some closing line value there, and hopefully they get it across the line at least. For the spread, hopefully we get that nice, juicy money line price as well.
All right, Major League Baseball today. We're going to back the boys from the City of Brotherly Shove. We're kind of waiting for the Phillies to turn the spigot back on. Jensen, does it begin today against the Blue Jays?
I think so. And again, just kind of a fun little daily diamond here. We parlayed them, the Phillies, with the Reds money line, just kind of using those trends from having that one day off. And so the Phillies, again, going up against tough customer Kevin Gausman, has actually thrown the ball really well. The entirety of the Blue Jay rotation has actually been pretty solid. But I think the Phillies get back on the right side of things. Couple other ones to throw out to people. We are on the Yankees plus 1.5 and Giants plus 1.5. We parlayed those together for plus 253. I do think the Red Sox do win tonight. Mm. So we're hoping for a one-run game and we can shoot the moon there. Tigers, and again, we're going to go kind of the same way. Basically, we get the Phillies across, then we have the Reds at plus 288. I'm going to go on the other side there. Tigers at minus $1.32. I don't think they've announced a starter, but I think it's going to be Cater Montero,
yep,
who's going to be in that one. So I like that as well. Diamondbacks tonight in a great spot at home, I think, against the Padres. Ryan Nelson going to get the start for them. So I do like the D-backs tonight. And just kind of sprinkling the rest of the way, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, a couple of totals. We'll go back to your Metropolitans, Dave. Really good pitching matchup tonight. Taj Bradley, Clay Holmes, under 8 for me in that one. I think we get not only the Mets offense, maybe some late hitting that gets them across, but either way, under 8, I think it's a well-pitched game.
We got, of course, the numbers games coming up next year with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin. I'm sure they're going to talk a lot about this Thunder game here against the Pacers. With the Thunder, you don't want to say must win because it's not a must win until it's actually an elimination game. But it does get that feel now, kind of like Edmonton last night here. Jensen, do they rebound tonight in Indianapolis and not this series going back to OKC?
Yeah, I think so. And Dave, I bought down a little bit here in the market. I know there's sixes out there. I bought down to 4.5, swallowed a little bit of juice here at $1.41. Just for me, just kind of where things have gone. And we've seen enough of the quote unquote meaningless buckets, but they mean a lot more to many of us. I just kind of gave myself a little breathing room and have the Thunder on the spread at 4.5 at minus $1.41.
I will say this, that total since our show has begun here in the course of this 3 hours has gone up just a skosh, 226.5. So an extra half point there. So a slight uptick there from 226 when the day began today. Again, we've got a $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you have to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. First 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That's going to trigger the $500 trifecta. You're going to get a $200 cashback reward on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN will complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That is a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. So apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Jensen, let's update the United States Open here. We have three players right now that are in single digits as we are now getting through midway of round two for the morning wave. Scottie Scheffler is still the betting favorite, if you can believe this, at 6-1. John Rahm is the second betting choice at 7-1. Brooks Koepka is 9-1 there. Are you surprised that we still can't get that dip that we want on Scottie to double digits?
Yeah, anxious to see. And perhaps at the turn here, we may see some things happen. But to see where Brooksy is at this point, buddy, you have got to be feeling just elated that there is life to that 95-1 ticket you've got. Tell you a couple other guys. You mentioned Rombo.
Yep.
One over through six. Colin Morikawa even through six. So that's good. But our boy Cam Young, he's hanging tough, man.
Come on.
Hanging tough, just one over through five. So he's right in the fight. That's all we can ask for. So going to be a lot of fun watching the rest of today.
And you and I both have tickets on Victor Hovland, and the Norwegian sensation is golfing his ball, as they say. He's 2 under through the day, 1 under for the tournament, 3 off the lead of J.J. Spahn, who is not teed off as of yet. All right, Jensen, because this is a going on now, your tally. Can I help out your tally if I do one more Jello shot with you? I know you have other responsibilities.
I'm doing with you.
I'm done in 1 minute. This is for you, Jensen, and the whole crew out there at Omaha. So this goes to the J. Lou tally. Uh-oh.
We
that
got
one
you.
Got messy.
Handlebars.
My God. We got it down. The computer may have taken a hit there, Jensen. So that's 2 for me. Yeah. 2 for you.
Friendly fire. The morning.
This is why I don't go out of town. This is why they keep me in the studio, Jensen. I can't do more than 2. I'm out. Stormy would clean my clock out there in this contest. Going to be a lot of fun. But again, you're going to be on with Money Moves with Stormy and JVT a little bit later on.
Yeah. Yep. Schedule here. Jumping on with Gil and Kelly here coming up at 10:15 Eastern time. 1:15 Eastern for Money Moves today. And then back at the usual spot, 5 p.m. Eastern with Mitch and Pauly live from Rocco's later today.
That was the messiest jello shot of all time by yours truly. Gentlemen, great stuff as always. Don't go anywhere. Gil Alexander, Kelly Villan next here on A Numbers Game.